The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300. Southern Colorado. It's time to get the inside scoop on your Colorado Springs Switchbacks from the head man himself, Steve Trichu. It's the Switchbacks Coaches Show, presented by Soccer House, live from the Upper 90 Inside Soccer House. Now, alongside Switchbacks head coach Steve Trichu, here's your host, Ryan Kaufman.
Yes, all that information is correct. This is the Switchbacks Coaches Show here on Extra Sports 1300. Ryan Kaufman and Steve Trichu coming your way from the Upper 90 Inside Soccer House. And you can tell it is Soccer House because you can hear buzzers going off. Coming up on tonight's show, I got a lot to discuss. Two games last week for the Switchbacks. One went much better than the other, and also a big game this weekend. Sion McFarland will be my player guest coming up at 6:30, and you should really come out and see us. Sion's here. Steve's here. We're giving away tickets to Saturday's game. We also have some Switchbacks seat cushions that we will be giving away as well during the program, so make your way out 4845 Alyssa Drive. So, Steve, first of all, good to see you again. How are you tonight?
It's good to be back.
Good to be back after Saturday. What a that I don't know. I'm usually a wordsmith, a very talented one. That's just a big win. That's just a big win on Saturday.
Yeah, it was. You know, an undefeated team coming in, which, you know, when we played them early in the season, we went down there and actually had a really, really good game. You know, we ended up tying the game. But, you know, I challenged the guys on Saturday night because, you know, in the game against Swope on Wednesday, the first half was actually tremendous. I thought we played really well. You know, we were leading at half, and then second half we lost focus on a couple goals. But, you know, I challenged them on Saturday, and defensively we were very good. I thought we could have scored a few more goals, and I wish we would have because, you know, there's always those chances at the end that a team just pushing forward and can, you know, take advantage of it. But all in all, it's a great win. It's a great 3 points. And, you know, I keep saying let's win our home game, so that's very important for us.
And you talk about how you challenged them on Saturday. What was the message immediately after the Swope Park or maybe the training session after that game? What was the message?
It was just, you know, like I said, let's take all the positives out of it. I thought the first half in Swope, we went in a very good game plan, I thought, you know, stay compact and then counterattack out of it, which we did. And we actually should have scored probably a couple more in that first half. And I, you know, we lost our focus on two plays. One's off a corner kick, and you know, I hate giving up goals off corner kicks because most of the time it has nothing to do with our play. It's just, you know, being focused and being aggressive and trying to win the ball and beat your man to the ball before they do. And then the second one, you know, we had the ball in the corner. Shane lost it too easily, and you know, the ball was played in. Actually, I think it was a foul on Jordan because Jordan went to head the ball and the guy side volleyed off the ground. And, you know, it should have been a foul, probably not a goal. But, you know, we lost the game. But when we got back into town on Thursday, we went straight to training. And, you know, we just, like I said, we just got our legs back under us. And we came out firing in the game on Saturday. And so, big win for us, and now we just got to keep the momentum going.
Talking about that match on Saturday, very welcome sight, Luke Vercolone, back with you. How big was to get him back?
Yeah, he was itching to play, and he's been out. It's been over a month, I guess. And, you know, now the unfortunate thing is he got kicked on Saturday, so he might be out again this weekend. So it's just like an up and down thing with him. But, you know, he lifted us a little bit. We needed that in the middle of our midfield. You know, not necessarily the defending side of it, but the attacking side of it. His movement off the ball was pretty good. And so, you know, we fed off that. You know, he lasted, 65, 70 minutes. And then, you know, the plan was to bring Kim in, and he shored things up defensively for us. So that worked for us. And we're still not sure on this weekend for him. But, you know, he's a big part of the team, and we need him in there. We need him healthy.
That wasn't the only lineup change that happened. Aaron King goes in as well. Shane Malcolm was one of the guys not in the 11. What went into that decision?
He got hurt in the game in Kansas City. He got his foot stepped on by a stud and took a few stitches on the top of his foot. So he was out, and you know, I asked Kingy, because he doesn't really play wide that much. He can, but he doesn't play that much. And I didn't want to take Kevon out of the top up the middle, because he's been doing tremendous for us up there. And so, you know, Aaron came in and did a fantastic job for us. And so he's going to be back in there on this Saturday. So I expect more from him. You know, we need some more guys to put the ball in the back of the net, and he's got to be one of them. Masa is another one. He hasn't played for a while, or he hasn't scored for a while, and so we need him to step up a little more. So, but I really like the way the team has been playing defensively. They're understanding what we have to do. You know, the type of team we are, we're just not going to break down teams through our combination play all the time, and so we've got to get them on the counterattack, which I thought we've been doing great. And Kevon's finding those spaces up top that we're finding in with balls into spaces. So we're going to do more of that on this Saturday against Rio and get another 3 points.
Yeah, you'd like the guys that you pay to score goals to score goals. But on the other hand, you have a guy going back to that Swole Park game, Eddie Pru gets a goal. So I would imagine – yes, you want to see the guys that are there to score goals, but it's nice when you get that support from other guys that maybe you don't count on to score goals as much.
Well, sure, even the game last Saturday, you know, Sion scores a great goal right at the halftime mark, and we need those. We need to score some more goals off restarts, and that was one of the things, actually, we worked on that before before the game on Saturday, because we really couldn't do a whole lot of training those 2 days. It was just getting our legs under us. So I said, let's concentrate on a few restarts and try and change things up a little bit. So, you know, I'm glad to see that. But like you said, we still need those guys in those positions, in those attacking positions, to score. You know, Eddie, we freed him up a little bit on Saturday because he had Ronnie and Kim behind, or sorry, on Wednesday, he had Ronnie and Kim behind him, so that freed him up to go a little bit forward, and he got a great position. Kevon did a great job of beating the guys on the sideline and then feeding him the ball. So, but you know, we still need more of that, and but that's how we've been playing. We're playing off the counterattack right now and scoring goals off that.
Saturday again proving to be a very evenly matched. What you guys, when you watch San Antonio and you watch you guys are more alike than you are different.
Yeah. Yeah, they do have some special players, which, you know, going into the game, we planned on, you know, kind of two lineups, and I was really surprised on the coach not starting Forbes, so that actually kind of helped us, because we didn't have to really concentrate on him a lot. He came in for about the last 30 minutes, and he caused some problems for us, but like I said, I thought defensively we were very good, but they are a very good team, and you know, I talked with Darren Powell after the game. He's the coach of San Antonio. We actually had a beer together, but you know, he's a good guy. He's a very good coach. They have a fantastic team, and I said it from the beginning when we played them. I guess what it was, the second or third game of the season. I said this team's going to go far this year, and you know, they've proved it so far. But now they have a tough road schedule coming up, so we'll see how it all pans out. And that's what, you know, we were talking earlier. We've played so many games now. Right now we have, I think, our next 5 weeks or so, we just have one game a week. So we just kind of – we have to take care of our games, but we just got to sit back and see where we end up. You know, last night yesterday to start, we were in third, and I think we're in fifth or sixth right now because of the win last night. So we just got to take care of our games and then see what happens.
Something that was a little bit different. Now, the fans – after we got past all that icky weather at the beginning of the season, they've really come out, and 4,429, a complete sellout of Widener Field. I know that you guys are very cognizant of the crowd. I would guess 44-29 felt very different on Saturday.
Oh, for sure. You know, they helped out a tremendously, and it was good to look up in the stands and see it full, and actually people kind of walking around the concourse. It was a great sight for us, and the guys did feed off of it. And I got a lot of compliments, you know, after the game from people saying that was a great game. And, you know, I think they left knowing that, you know, we're still there. You know, I mean, you know, I questioned us a little bit at the beginning, and actually the last few weeks, you know, just how we've been playing. But we just need to keep going. And the guys felt the confidence coming out of the game Saturday, and I can see it already in the training this week. There's a little bit of more step in their step. And so we've got to take that momentum. We've got two more home games coming up before we hit the road for two, and so we've got to take care of these games.
Well, Switchbacks FC gave the record crowd a lot to cheer about on Saturday. Coming up next, we'll break down one of the biggest wins of the season for the team. In the meantime, want to encourage you again to join us at 4845 List Drive here at Soccer House. Great food and drink specials they have going on. The Switchbacks are giving away tickets for Saturday's matchup. And as you heard, 44-29 last weekend, we expect it to be pretty much the same thing this Saturday. So switchbacksfc.com if you don't want to leave your chances of getting tickets to chance. But we are giving away some here at Soccer House. Coming up next, again, we will discuss more in depth the win over San Antonio. You're listening to the Switchbacks Coaches Show presented by Soccer House here on Extra Sports 1300. Welcome back to the Switchbacks Coaches Show here on Extra Sports 1300. We are presented by and coming your way live from Soccer House, 4845 List Drive. Come join your fellow Switchback supporters and potentially win some tickets for Saturday's game against Rio Grande Valley, which we will get into later on in the show. Ryan Kaufman back with Switchbacks head coach Steve Trichu. We talked before the break about the record crowd that was on hand, but what, about 24, 25 minutes in, looked like the wind was going to be taken out of sails a little bit. They get their player, Hassan, got a little bit loose, took a shot, but you're a fantastic goalie. That's why you got him, right? Moise Poaty came up with a big save.
Yeah, you know, they did have a few chances. I'm not going to say that we dominated the game by anything, but, you know, they had their chances, but, you know, hopefully luck's our way these days. But, you know, Moise is a good positioning keeper, and he reads things. He's athletic. So, you know, I expected him to make that play, and he did. He made a couple other plays during the game too. But, you know, the goal at halftime was big for us because, you know, as soon as they kick off, that's the end of it. So, you know, they're going into the locker room, you know, thinking about what they're going to do. And actually, I thought they were going to change players at halftime, but he didn't. And so that was the one thing I told these guys at halftime. I said, be prepared if Forbes comes in, you know, because we have to contain him. He's a good player. I mean, he's got speed. He's got power. He's a goal scorer. I thought we did pretty well on him. He got loose a couple times. And then, you know, Tierpak's there also. He's also a top player. I thought we contained him a lot for most part during the game. He did hit the crossbar about the 83rd minute. But that was off a kind of a mistake from our part. But we had other chances too. You know, Kavon could have had two goals there towards the end on breakaways. Masta had a chance inside the box, and so we got to score those goals. So then at the end of the game, you know, there are no, you know, we're trying to defend the game and get it finished with. So, you know, but it's great for the fans. They loved it.
Right.
So maybe it'll bring them back again. So that was all positives there.
Right, and you mentioned the chances that you guys failed to convert on. Part of that has to be attributed to their goalie. You talk about how similar you guys are. You have a USL leader in saves in your guy, Moise Poaty, and then their guy is topping clean sheets. So if you are a fan of good goalkeeping, Saturday was your game. I mean, it was just an exhibition.
No, it was. And, you know, Restrepo is a good player. He's been around for a while. He's got a great defense in front of him, though. I'll give him that. I don't know how many shutouts they've had this year, but they've been pretty good defensively. And I'm really just glad we got the 3 points. And now, you know, now we move on for real, and we owe them a lot, because when we went down there, I guess it back in April, we just didn't play very well. You know, we came back, made the game 2-1 at one point, but we made too many mistakes in that game that I can remember. But we're a different team now. We're not making those mistakes so much. We are still making mistakes, but we've cut down on the bad mistakes that teams capitalized on us and scored goals. And so I expect us to come out flying. You know, we, like I said, these next, I guess, 4 or 5 weeks that we only have one game a week, we're going to prepare well for each team, and we have the time to do it. We're going to get guys back fit. You know, that been having some aches and pains here and there, but this you know, June, July is very important, and that's going to take us in to see how the rest of the season's going to go. So if we get a lot of points in June, July, then I have really good confidence that hopefully if we can finish in the top four.
We talked earlier about the goal, but Mosta, it seems that's a really good spot for him to be in. We've seen him score goals on his own from that sort of angle there. He finds Sion McFarland, who will join us in just a few minutes. From your spot on the sideline, take us through that play and what made it work to get that goal that really completely changed the way, as you mentioned, the way that the second half was played.
Yeah, you know, there was that foul. I think Kevon got fouled towards the side of the box there, and you know, Suggsy usually is on it and whips some balls in, but I saw Mosta go over, and I've told Mosta every once in a while, you know, drive the ball in like you're going to shoot it. And as long as we have guys going in there, you know, sometimes those balls just go straight in. And he hit it. I couldn't see the angle, but I don't know if that would have went straight in or not. But you know, Sion made a great run there. We had a lot of players going on a run towards the near post, which kind of freezes the keeper. So he has to decide what he's going to do, if he's going to come or he's going to stay. And Mosta hit it. Mosta hit a perfect ball, and Sion just had to touch the ball. I mean, you know, that wasn't a very good goal for him, but, you know, all he had to do was touch the ball and it went in. So, but, you know, we played well in the first half, and we came out. I just wanted them to play high energy because I wanted especially Tier Pack, and, well, it was Chin on the one side. I wanted them to work, and they actually were cheating too much. You know, Tier Pack wasn't tracking Suggsy backs into the attack so much. So we were Suggsy and Jordan were actually getting on the ball a lot, and so that was part of our game plan: get the ball wide. Let's play from the wide positions, which they did pretty good.
And obviously, scoring in the 48th minute is a little bit different than scoring the 23rd minute, I think Eddie scored on Wednesday. But the fact is the same, that you went into halftime against Swope leading and weren't able to hold that lead. What was the difference on Saturday that allowed you guys to keep that lead?
Well, like I said, you know, we kept our focus in the game Saturday. I you know, in the Swope game, we got stretched a little bit too much. The heat got to the guys a little bit. You know, we were good for 45 minutes there, but it was pretty warm. The first half was hot and humid, and so we haven't really trained in that very much, and it kind of hit the guys a little bit. You know, Kim got tired in the middle a little bit, and that's where Kansas City generates a lot of their play through the middle, and we just got too stretched, gave them too much time on the ball, but really through the play, you know, those two goals weren't through the play. Like I said, one was a corner. We lost focus on a mark, and then the second one was a mistake in the corner, losing the ball too easily, which we had possession of the ball. And so, you know, we took positives out of that game. I'm not happy that we lost the game the way we did, but there are a lot of positives that we took out of it, and we took that into the Saturday game. And the guys were hyped. You know, and kind of the character of this team a little bit is we play well against the top teams. Salt Lake minus Salt Lake, I guess, but you know, but we're looking forward to playing them again. But we rise to the occasion at times, and I have to challenge these guys, and they stood up to the challenge this time, and I was more than happy with the 3 points.
And talk about being able to rise to the occasion. Both Real Monarchs and San Antonio both have a one in the loss column, and that is due to the Colorado Springs Switchbacks. Coming up next, the goal-scoring hero from the win over San Antonio, Sion McFarland, will join me on the program. I will ask him whether he's more looking forward to meeting or beating Didier Drogba in a couple of weeks. We'll do that next here on the Switchbacks Coaches Show, live from the Upper 90 Inside Soccer House on Extra Sports 1300. Welcome back to the Switchbacks Coaches Show, presented by and live from Soccer House 4845 List Drive. It looks like there's a men's league going on directly below us here. Really cool venue if you get a chance to come check out the Upper 90 Inside Soccer House. A very cool place to sit and watch a game, and you can watch a live game and then a game on one of their TVs or their big projector screen as well. Also, coming up, speaking of games, this Saturday, Switchbacks still at home, I should say, something that we haven't been able to say too much this season. They'll be at home Saturday, July 1st, 7 o'clock is the opening kickoff. Gates open an hour prior. Rio Grande Valley FC United 1968 Toros will be at Widener Field to take on the Switchbacks. Great matchup. And then a Independence Day-sized fireworks display right after, presented by Oakwood Home. So you can get your tickets at switchbacksfc.com or give the Switchbacks ticket office a call at 719-368-8480, extension 1. Ryan Kaufman now joined by the goal-scoring hero on Saturday. Defender Sion McFarland joins me now. Big win. First of all, how are you? Good to meet you. I don't think we've been properly introduced yet, but it's good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. It's a pleasure being here.
So I said it with Steve at the top of the show. That's just about as big of a win as it gets, isn't there?
It is a big 3 points for us, you know, coming off a loss at Swope Park, you know, a tough loss at Swope Park. And I feel like it was very important getting the 3 points against a top team. Shows us what we can do.
Mm. From your perspective, what maybe went a little bit sideways in the second half at Swope that maybe you guys corrected on Saturday?
I think it was more the focus, you know, having that focus for 90 minutes, you know, the mentality that we practiced the week prior, you know, to have that defensive mentality of a shutout. I think that was a focus that we only had for 65 minutes at Swope, and that proved critical, and we lost. We ended up losing that game.
Mm. Now, when you are amongst your teammates, do you guys stew, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, stew about the loss of Swope, or was it as soon as you got on the bus, it was out of your mind and you're already focused on San Antonio?
I think even before the loss at Swope, after we left the locker room back at the hotel, everyone was fine after it. You know, we were just more focused on the next game 3 days after, which was San Antonio. And I think that's very important moving forward, you know, after a loss.
Can you get a feeling from training leading up to a game that it just gives you a feeling of, yeah, I really think we're going to play well on Saturday? Do you get an indication of that when you guys are training?
No, there's no feeling of that in training. But I feel like if we work hard in training, it'll show in the week, you know, and as important as training is, it always does show at the end of the week on Saturdays or on Wednesdays if midweek games.
Mm. I mentioned the attendance, nearly 4,500 people there at Widener Field, a completely sold out crowd there for you guys. What did that feel like playing in front of that big of a crowd here in Colorado Springs?
It was amazing, you know, having that much people coming out, because prior to the game even starting, I realized there was a lot more people than usual. You know, as the game started, I completely blacked out, and I didn't realize that at all until maybe halftime or after the game.
Or until after you scored your goal.
Even that.
Well, talk us through that a little bit. Was there any nonverbal communication between you and Mosta? Do you have any indication of where he's going to put that ball? Talk us through that goal.
There was no communication whatsoever. All credits to Mosta for a great delivery. There was more communication with the defender marking me, right, to say, than Mosta. But he did a great ball, and all we had to do was just get something on it. Mm. Unfortunately for me, I got my back and my head on it, so it was great.
And now it's old hat for you. That's, what, two goals this season? So
right.
It just, you know, it's just old hat scoring goals. as you look, and now we talked about how the schedule gets a little less hectic. Open Cup is in the rearview mirror. You guys aren't going to be playing as many of those Wednesday, Saturday type of schedules, so it kind of gives you a chance. Maybe you haven't yet this week, but in the weeks to come, maybe you reflect on a little bit more. As you look at where you are in the standings and how you've been playing, Are you guys meeting your expectations for the season, or do you think there's still room to improve?
I think there's always room to improve, you know, and I think we're doing that. With the schedule coming up, one game every 5 weeks or so, I think it gives us a chance to get an identity and to be more to develop our chemistry as a team.
I saw you were eating wings from Soccer House over there. What kind of wings were those?
There are Caribbean jerk, of course, and the hot wings were amazing.
Of course, a Caribbean jerk. you have played, you've spent time with the Jamaican U-20s and the U-23s, correct?
Correct.
How much of a goal, how much does it drive you to maybe be on the senior team one day?
I actually was called on the senior team in 2015 for the Gold Cup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but unfortunately I haven't made an appearance.
And how much does that, is that something that's always in your mind trying to make that, or is that something that you just, you know, kind of put on the back burner and let your play kind of decide that?
I think more of so it's always in the back of my head to play for my national team. It's everyone's goal to play for their country and represent their country on even the biggest of stage. But I feel like at this moment the priority is here with the Switchbacks, and if my play or how important me playing here is or my performance here determines that I get called, that would be glad for that.
What are your expectations for Jamaica in the Gold Cup?
Hopefully getting out the group stage, at least.
Yeah, hopefully. So we do this thing. We want to get to know you, Sion McFarland, a little bit more. So I have a few questions just so we can get to know you a little bit better, if you don't mind me.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. So it the first one, if you had to lose, wait for the buzzer. If you had to lose one of your senses, which one would you get rid of and why? You have to lose one.
I would have to say my sense of touch.
Okay.
Probably my sense of touch.
Although, without your sense of touch, do you score the goal that you scored
no,
on Saturday?
I probably wouldn't know that I touched it, so I'd probably give credit to Masta.
Right, so pretty similar. What is your spirit animal? What animal do you identify with?
I would say my spirit animal is an orca, of course.
Nice.
I think that's the killer instinct at times, but can be very gentle.
Very cool. We pretend for a moment we live in a dystopic hellscape where soccer does not exist. What are you doing to pay the bills, you think?
I'll probably maybe play in some other sports.
Right. There you go. Did you play any others growing up?
I did in high school. I played volleyball. I played American football. And I tend to think I'm decent at basketball. So
Right. Maybe
one of those.
Right. How big is American football down there?
It's very big. I actually went to a big high school out in Florida for football, American Heritage.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Right. If you could fight anyone in history, who would you fight?
Fight anyone in history. I think I would fight Nemanja Vidić.
I have to be honest with you. I am a Manchester United supporter. So if you want to go ahead and just like end the interview now, we can go ahead. if you were on death row, for that fight with Nemanja Vidić, what would be your last meal?
I think my last meal would be from Romano's Macaroni Grill, the lobster ravioli. It's probably the best thing I've almost ever had.
You found a way, without even knowing my follow-up, to circumvent it, because I was going to ask if you had to trust one of your teammates to make your last meal. Would you who would you trust to do that?
I think, of course, it would be Kev, of course.
So what is the nerdiest thing that Sion McFarland does?
The nerdiest thing.
Nerdiest thing.
I can't really do it anymore, but I'll say the nerdiest thing that I've done is like this weird stretch with my shoulder. Like, it's very weird, but I can't really do it anymore because of injury issues. So.
Well, is it like you can use your arms for like a jump rope type
yes,
of thing?
Yes,
like it goes
exactly,
all the way back?
That's exactly what it is.
Ooh, that's kind of...
It's kind of nerdy.
Kind of gross, too. You big video game guy?
Very big.
Okay. Is it PlayStation or Xbox?
I recently sold my Xbox and bought a PlayStation for gaming and experiencing with my friends online.
Dude, I am right there with you. I traded in my Xbox for a PlayStation. I never knew this world existed.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a new world, man.
Right. So what's the, if we went to your humble abode and hit the eject button on the PS4, what's the game that's in there right now?
Call of Duty Black Ops 3.
Okay, very cool. You play FIFA?
I do play FIFA, but I only play FIFA locally. Like, if I'm playing against a teammate, we play here, and we talk a lot of smack. That's how I play FIFA most of the times.
Masta claims that he's really good at FIFA. Is he the best FIFA player on
Masta
the team?
Masta is not the best FIFA player on the team.
Is he the most dedicated FIFA player, at least?
No, I would say Masta takes advantage of Pascal a lot, so that's why he thinks he's the best.
Oh, okay. Who is the best FIFA player on the team?
Humbly, I'd say me.
Okay. All right. Who's the go-to team? Are we going Ultimate Team, or do you have a club that you pick?
I pick Chelsea, of course.
Okay.
I'm very well-rounded with Chelsea, so that's all I go to.
All right. That actually leads me into my next question. What poster did you have on your wall growing up?
I have about 3 different Didier Drogba posters on my wall. One in front, one to the side, and one behind, of course.
Right. In a couple of weeks, and I'm sure you are well aware of this, you guys have a road trip to Phoenix. Phoenix just so happens to be part owned, and one of their players happens to be Didier Drogba. Right. Be honest, after you got the schedule, how quickly did you look for Phoenix?
I look for it every day. I have a countdown set to play Phoenix on July 15th, so I'm actually ready for that.
So you haven't met D.A. Drogba before,
never
have you?
In my entire life. Met him.
Have you ever seen Chelsea play in person?
No, I was supposed to, but I had to got canceled when I got called to the Gold Cup.
You sound somewhat disappointed about that.
I'm very disappointed about that.
You don't want to seem like a total. We talk about the nerdiest thing you do is the arm thing.
Right.
The nerdiest thing you could do is like gush over Didier Drogba when you play him. But so, have you thought about how that day will play out? Because you want to. I mean, this is a guy that you cheered for growing up as a kid, so you want to make him know that, right? But at the same time, you're his peer now. You're not his fan. So how do you think you'll handle that game?
I think I'll try to be humble as much as I can and stick to the task at hand, which, you know, is getting the 3 points in Phoenix, you know, of course. But it's going to be a lot of mixed emotions in that day. There's a lot that goes into July 15th for me.
Right. Didier Drogba, you guys are up 1 goal. Here he comes. He has the ball. It's you, or he's taking a shot at Puati. So are you going to try to sideswipe him and take the ball away, or are you hitting the ground sliding and making a slide tackle?
I trust Puati, but I'm going for the slide tackle, of course.
Okay.
Of course I'm going for the slide tackle. Foul or not, I'm helping him up.
Yeah. Before that, you guys got a couple of matches at home. You look at San Antonio, since we didn't get a chance to speak before it. Now that you have the San Antonio win and you look forward to the next 2 home games, how important are these for you guys?
It's very important, you know, coming in towards August when we get into July. It's very important that we get as maximum points as we can at the moment because there's teams not too far behind and not too far ahead, which I think we have 1 ahead with a 1 point advantage of us.
Right, so, Sacramento is 1 point up on you guys.
And we have to get as much points as we can off these games.
When you think about what I said before the break, I don't know, there's Real Monarchs SLC has 1 loss. San Antonio has 1 loss. Now, at the end of the day, you guys want to surpass them in the standings as well as beating them when you do match up. But Do you guys think about that, or is it, does it take any added significance, the fact that you guys are the only team to beat those two teams?
No, I actually looked at it the other day with Kev, and we spoke about it, and I told him, look at these teams at the top, you know, running away with first and second place so far, and we're the only person they have in common to beat them, mm-hmm. and to at least get a point, you know, get maximum points from them, which we got a tie in San Antonio, we got a win here, which was great, and 3 points from Monarch here at home. So I told him, you know, like, we should be up there with these teams, you know, it's just the little mistakes that we have to fine-tune. And we had a rough schedule, you know, at the beginning of the season, you know, back-to-back games, 3 games per week, so that has to count for something, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, now if you guys can just, like, take care of business against Seattle Sounders, too, and some of those teams that have snuck up on you guys this season. Spotlighting Rio Grande Valley, I don't know how much game planning you guys have done over the past few days, but as you think of Rio Grande Valley, what sticks out to you as a potential key for Saturday's game?
Thinking about the potential keys, that brings me back to our last encounter with Rio Grande, how they move the ball and their most dangerous players. We have to face those players and basically stay in focus as defensively, because we didn't really do that that well in McAllen. Mm.
Well, that game again is this Saturday, July 1st, 7 o'clock. You a fireworks fan?
Big time fireworks.
Okay. There will be fireworks after, but fireworks are always better. Celebrating a victory. You can log on to SwitchbacksFC.com to get tickets. Sion, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time and playing along with us. And follow me back on Twitter. Your tweets are blocked, and I can't.
Will do. Thank you very much, Ryan. Thanks for having me, man.
You bet. Sion McFarland from the Colorado Springs Switchback joining us here on the Switchbacks Coaches Show. On the topic of Rio Grande Valley, coming up next, Steve Trichu will rejoin me, and you'll get the coach's perspective on what it will take to get 3 points on Saturday. You're listening to the Switchbacks Coaches Show, live from the Upper 90 Inside Soccer House, 4845 List Drive, and on Extra Sports 1300.
This is the new Extra Sports 1300.
Welcome back to the Switchbacks Coaches Show here on Extra Sports 1300. Ryan Kaufman now rejoined by head coach Steve Trichu. And as we look towards Saturday's game and we look at the standings, as we mentioned, Switchbacks with quite a few more matches than some of the teams around them, especially I think Swole Park has three matches in hand. But you look at the standings, Real Monarchs, SLC, with 37 points, San Antonio FC, despite the loss, still in second with 34 points. Then you go Sacramento Republic with 24, Swope Park with 23, but again, 3 games in hand on Sacramento and the Switchbacks. Switchbacks are in virtually fifth place, but in points they're tied with Swope Park with 23 points. Then you go Reno, Seattle, OKC, 6, 7, and 8, and then ninth is the opponent on Saturday, Rio Grande Valley FC. You mentioned the last time that you guys were there, and even going back to last season against this team. What sticks out to you as potential strengths of this team that you guys will need to be wary of?
You know, it's an interesting team. They've actually lost their last 2 games, and they've kind of played two different lineups, and so that's what. In the break here, I was looking because Houston used a lot of their players tonight for their Open Cup game, and so it's going to be interesting to see who they bring. You know, it's one of those games that we'll get their 27-man roster, and then we'll see what 18 are when they get here on Saturday. So, when I'm planning the game, I'm going to go for their strongest team, and they have good players out wide. They have two kids in the middle that are strong in the midfield, and so we've got to take care of those guys. You know, their defense, I question their defense a little bit, so we got to get at them. And I've been telling these guys that, we got to start worrying about our games and keep improving on our game. And so I expect these guys to come out. We'll be flying on Saturday and put them in a lot of pressure the first part of the first half and hopefully get some goals and just keep playing sound defensive, defensively. And like I said, we're playing well. This part of the season, like I said, I questioned us a few weeks ago how we were playing, but it seems like we've turned that corner now, and guys understand. Guys are playing with confidence, and we need to keep that going. And like I said, these next two home games are very important for us.
From your standpoint, you mentioned that some guys are getting a little bit healthy. Obviously, there's one that's not quite close to healthy, but do you expect, other than somebody like, say, Chris James, to be as close to fully healthy as you can be?
Yeah, like I said, we'll see how Luke is tomorrow. I think he's going to be all right for the weekend, though. I talked to him today. He didn't train, but he was feeling pretty good. So, you know, that's going to be a decision if if he's going to start or we put Kim back in there. Shane, I just got an email that his foot's not broken, and so all we have to do is let the stitches heal, and then he should be back in. I don't expect him to be back in Saturday, but it's like I said, it's good that it's good and it's not good that we have all the we've played all those games and now we have this break here. But for guys to come back healthy, that's going to be good for us. And we have a good push now. Like I said, if we can start a little streak here, getting some victories, then we don't have to worry about all those teams that they're only played 9 or 10 games behind us.
I was looking at we were looking the other day, and like, I don't know what's going on with OC's schedule, but yeah, they played like 3 games or something.
I think they're at 9 games. I think they played 9 games.
How does that happen in Southern California?
Yeah, I have no. I don't know what happened there. I don't really know what happened with our schedule either, because
right,
it's just we played too many games to begin with, and we need to, whoever's doing the schedule, speak to them a little bit and figure something out next year. But like I said, we went through that now, and some teams are going to start going through that where they're going to be playing Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. And I know San Antonio is one of them. So if we can keep putting points on the board, my goal right this year is top 4. The top position might be with, because Salt Lake's playing very, very good. They're a very good team, them in San Antonio. But if we can get top 4 and get another, a first round home game again, because we've proven we play out well on the road. There have been a couple though we haven't been, but lately we played well on the road. We won the game in L.A. We played well in Swope last Wednesday, and so we're proving that we can compete on the road. So if we can get that first round. But the first round game like we did last season, I feel we're in a better position. We're a better team to go on and play an away game at that point.
Given all of the difficulty you had with injuries and with travel, weather, all that kind of stuff, you sit a point out of the top 4 where you just said that was a goal of yours. As you look at it, and you have now longer between matches to kind of think about where you guys are, do you think that you came out of it at the end about as well as you could have hoped? Or do you think that there should be higher?
I think we should be higher. That's probably the competitive person in me, because we were in a lot of games. There were a few games that we just didn't play well, that we didn't get the results. But if you look at the results at home, the game against Seattle when we had a red card, and I still think we dominated the game. We should have got a point out of that game. The Reno game at home, tying that game was kind of tough on me, and even the Swope game last week. If we came out of that with a point, I would have felt even better. But there's been games that we compete, but we still have to go to places like, we got to go to Orange County. We still have to go play in Seattle. We have to play in Phoenix. We got to go to Oklahoma City again. So those are tough games for us. But I keep telling the guys, let's take care of our home games, and then when the away games come, we'll have a good tactical game plan to go in there, and let's get the 3 points. But if not, let's get the point.
I always like to get your opinion on other soccer topics here in the last few minutes we have with you. This International Rules Committee, or whatever that FIFA backs, are seeking debate, I don't know if you saw this, about switching from a 90-minute running clock to a 60-minute clock that stops when the ball is out of play.
I read something about that. I just kind of skipped over because that's... that's not the game. You know, the,
right.
the game, and even, you know, there's been with all this VAR stuff, and you see it with the Confederations Cup going on right now. It takes a little bit of the human quality out of it, I guess. And believe me, there's probably almost every game this year. There's been something, you know,
right.
but you know, there's just been some wrong things going on with the VAR. I just don't like it, and sometimes it takes too long. That's not our game. And you know, if there's a glaring mistake, sure, let's correct it. If the ball went over the line, it wasn't called a goal. You know, if there's a bad red card that probably shouldn't have been a red card, or if there should have been a red card, yeah, sure, those are what we should be looking at. But you know, it just seems like they're looking at everything now, and that's not soccer. That's not the game of football. You know?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of human error. Like, don't get me wrong, I yell at referees and get mad and blame them for my team's losing and everything, but I'd rather have that than something like that. The reason why they bring that up, though, is because of the players, you know, kicking it out and everything like that. I totally agree with you. That'd be such a radical change. But at the USL level, do you think that there is an issue with pace of play, I guess, would be the way to frame it, or do you think that there's enough action going on within the 90 minutes?
Well, if you watch our games, there's a lot of action
right.
going on. But no, I think for the USL, I don't see anybody, you know, any of the games that are really slowed down. There's always ball kids there to get the ball back and play. When you get good referees, they will speed the game up. But it's that's part of our game. You know, part of coaching is teaching the guys the man management of the game. You know, how we're winning 1-0 with 5 minutes to go. How can you kill the game off? Hopefully you score a goal, but if not, there are ways that you have to slow the game down. Don't let the other team have the ball, or it'll slow the game down so much that, you know, they can't get the ball. And so that's all part of this game, and I want to see it keep going that way.
So before we close up shop for the evening, one key for Saturday's match that we can all look forward to?
We've got to come out flying. The start of the game is going to be very important for us. And like I said, I look back, and they used a lot of the guys tonight from Rio Grande on Houston's first team in for the Open Cup. So, you know, maybe they'll be tired, maybe they won't. But I don't really look at the other team so much. You know, I'll give the guys tendencies on what they do, but we've got to take care of our game. And a part of our game is going to be to play fast, quick combinations, get the ball wide, get balls in the box, find Kavon in his space, let him do his thing up there, and play sound defensively.
You're going to want to be out there. 7 o'clock, gates open at 6 at Widener Field. SwitchbacksFC.com is the place to get tickets. Of course, there will be an Independence Day size fireworks display afterwards, so it's going to be a fun night of soccer going on at Widener Field this Saturday. Steve, thanks as always for the time.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great.
Well, thank you to Sion as well, and Wheels back at the studio. We'll talk to you later here on Extra Sports 1300.